name Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to Eyes and Nays. On Eyes and Nays, we talk only about the legislative chambers. We talk about the laws that they're debating. We talk about how these chambers are performing their oversight duties on the executive. But today, we specifically want to talk about the steps in Nigeria's legislative process. What are the steps in Nigeria's legislative process? Laws are essential to our lives and to the functioning of our country, to the functioning of our states. We spend a lot of time talking about our laws or the effects of our laws. We have opinions about good laws or bad laws. But see, if we want to have real power over what laws get made, what laws get changed, it starts with understanding how laws get made and get changed. Today's legislative hard fact, according to Order Paper, is that between June 2019 and May 2022, senators sponsored 1,009 bills. Bill sponsorship is one of the concepts that we're going to be explaining today. It's one of the steps in the process of making law. And helping me to do that is the senior program executive at Order Paper, our source for today's legislative hard fact, Temitayo Taiwo Siddiq. Welcome to Eyes and Nays on Hard Facts.
Thank you, Sandra. Always a pleasure to be here.
Lagos, what questions do you have or comments do you have about the lawmaking process? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Temitayo, you have done this before when we were discussing constitutional amendments, right? But please quickly describe the steps in passing a federal law for me.
All right, Sandra, Lagos, for a bill to become law in Nigeria, which is what Sandra has asked, there are seven stages that the bill will go through. I mean, I've decided to call it seven stages because I want to track every stage in particular. But generally, people just say that there are three stages, which are the readings, first reading, second reading, and third reading. But let's get to it. Seven stages, I will call it. One is the gazetting of the bill, where the bill is officially acknowledged as not a draft document that belongs to a lawmaker, but that this is going to be a bill. After that, the next stage is the first reading. And what happens in the first reading is that the lawmaker hasn't sent the bill to the clerk of the particular chamber, whether the House of Reps or the State House of Assembly or the Senate. The clerk of the House just reads the bill, the title of the bill, bill on this, that, and then that's the first reading. After that, we have the second reading of the bill. The second reading of the bill usually entails debate on the general principles of the bill. What's this bill trying to achieve? What are the general provisions? If there are punishments, if the bill is seeking to correct something in society, what are the punishments if you run foul of the laws and all of those things? That's general principles of the bill, usually debated. And this is where it is debated for the first time. After that, the bill, if it's successful, it moves to the committee stage, where it is referred to the relevant committees. If it's a bill on mental health, for example, referred to the Committee on Health. If it's a bill on airports, it's referred to the Committee on Aviation, and so on and so forth. And then after the committee stage, the bill is brought back to the chamber where a report is laid. It's important to say that the committee stage means that the committee will conduct a public hearing, which now means that Nigerians who are not in the parliament or legislature are required to go to the chamber at that time to give their own opinion about it. I don't like this bill. It's not good. Please don't pass it. I love it. Please go on. I mean, you give your own thoughts about the bill at that stage. And then there is the report, you submit the report to the general lawmakers, which is the laying of the report from the bill. And once the bill scales that stage, it goes to the third reading. The third reading, I mentioned a couple of times on this show, that most often when the bill gets to third reading, there is a likely possibility that it will be passed. And so after the third reading, the sixth stage is that the bill is passed by that chamber. And then when the bill is passed by the chamber, because we operate a bicameral legislature, by means two, which means that any law that is passed, any bill that is passed in one chamber has to be passed in the other chamber before it can be become a law eventually. So when the bill is passed by the House of Reps, for example, it is sent to the Senate for concurrence to agree with what has been done in the House of Reps. If it's passed in the Senate, it is sent to the House of Reps for concurrence. And after that, if it scales that stage, it then goes to the president for assent. That's the basic understanding of how a bill moves from a draft to becoming a law.
Okay. Now, at state level, of course, there's only one chamber, so we don't have the harmonization step before taking it to the governor. Are there any other differences at state level?
No, it's just same stage, except that, like I said, if it's passed by the House, it's passed. You don't need to send it to any other legislative body to concur with the bill. But importantly, because Lagosians who are listening, it's important to know that if it's a constitutional amendment, there's a slight difference, which means that after the bill has been agreed on by both houses, which is the concurrence, because the constitution has to do with the entire country, a law for the entire country, you have to send it to the state houses of assembly. They would have to also make their input or pass the law and agree that it should become law. And then for you to succeed at that level, it means that 24 out of the 36 state houses of assembly in Nigeria must agree that that particular bill you want to use in amending the part of the constitution should go ahead. And then after that, it is now sent to the president.
Okay. Now, when we say that a lawmaker sponsored a bill, what exactly does that mean?
Okay. It's important to dial back a bit to the constitution. The Nigerian Constitution, Chapter 1, Part 2, Section 4 of that Constitution, empowers the legislature in Nigeria with the responsibility of making laws for the benefit of Nigerians. When we say the benefit of Nigerians, we're talking about peace, order, and good government of the Federation.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lawmaker, by the name lawmaker, means that the laws that we find in our law books, apart from the constitution, there are many other law books.
Mm-hmm.
Each of those laws are emanate from usually a lawmaker. Sometimes the president or governor could send a bill to the legislature. They are called executive bills.
Okay.
But the one that emanates directly from the lawmaker is called a private member bill. Now, that bill is a draft of all of the issues the person wants to address in society. For example, I may not be able to quote exactly the law now, but in the CBN Act, it is forbidden for people to spray the Naira notes.
Mm-hmm.
It's an abuse of the Naira. Or for you to take a pen or pencil or whatsoever to write on the Naira notes.
Mm.
That is an idea that came up some years back. Somebody sat down and said, oh, the way people are going about this, it's not supposed to be.
Mm.
And so what the person decided to do is to draft a law. There's also what's called a legislative draftsman who specializes in this. Draft a bill which is a proposed law, and then you include provisions. If you do this, this is what is going to happen. If you don't do this, this is what is going to happen. And you put all of it together and you compile it in a document as a draft. That is what a bill is. So for a lawmaker to sponsor a bill means that you have put together a body of recommendations in the form of a bill which you are intending to see through to becoming a law.
Now, would you say that number of bills sponsored is a great number by which to assess a lawmaker's performance?
Okay, that's a very, it's been a very controversial conversation over the years, and it's not just in Nigeria. It's important to say that.
Okay.
But let's take it like this, Sandra. You call somebody a lawmaker. If somebody's, if a person is a lawmaker, the least you expect of that person is that the person is supposed to, by function of that name, make laws, right? So it's okay that you, it's okay for you not to perhaps sponsor bills. Many of us even query the idea of the fact that people just come up with anything in the name of the fact that they want to be counted among people that sponsor bills. And again, because of the kind of society that we live in, we almost want to make laws for everything. Whereas there is the place that culture is supposed to take, that you don't have to make laws for everything. I don't know if it's clear.
Okay.
You don't need to make laws for everything. But because of the kind of society we have, that's why you see that we have a lot of laws.
Okay.
Now, to answer your question, for us at Other Paper, for this ninth National Assembly, for example, we had in the first year and the second year measure the performance of lawmakers on the basis of laws, bills that they sponsored, motions that they moved or sponsored, as well as petitions. That's also another aspect of a lawmaker's responsibility. Now, when we did this, the lawmakers saw it. Some of them kicked against it and said, oh, you are measuring us by laws. And some of them said, no. There's also the argument about on the street that I don't care how many laws my lawmaker sponsors, how many bills rather, as long as the person is able to attract projects to our community. So when we saw that, we took the feedback and we did more research. And what we came up with in the third year of the National Assembly, in our appraisal of the National Assembly, which is between June 11, 2019, when the Assembly was inaugurated by the President, and May 2022, the third year anniversary of the Assembly, we now came up with the VVIP metrics. V stands for volume.
Okay.
First of all, we are interested in the volume.
Okay.
After volume, we are interested in the value. What value is that bill seeking to bring?
Okay.
Remember that the Constitution says that law should be made for public interest.
That's right.
So if you make an, how do you measure public interest, Sandra? You measure public interest when that thing you are trying to address will favor the greater good. You can't make a law that covers necessarily benefit every single person in society.
Of course, of course.
Because as you are making laws to benefit a section, largely another section is probably going to suffer. Suffer for that. But these are things you balance.
But there are, of course, some laws you can make that generally protect most people.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, very well. A law is not supposed to be biased. But the point I'm trying to make is that what you consider public interest is in governance, in even in concept of government, is the greater good of the majority, greater majority.
Yes.
That's what we measure in democracy. So the value that that bill is bringing into place is very, very important.
Okay.
After that, we look at what is called, is close to value, impact. Like I mentioned the last, maybe it was not on your radio station, on the sister radio station. I had mentioned some 2 weeks ago that somebody who sponsors a climate change bill, for example, that, by the way, that has become law now. Somebody who sponsors a climate change bill, you know that that bill, Sandra, is going to have impact on future generations.
That's right.
You cannot measure that bill with the same metric you are measuring somebody who sponsored a bill to establish a university of education in a community where they already have universities.
Okay.
So after that, they will now talk about progression. Remember I said VVIP, volume, value, impact, and then progression.
Okay.
Progression speaks to how well that lawmaker was diligent enough to move the bill from gazetting to the point of assent. Let me shock you, about 50% plus of the bills that were sponsored by senators are stagnant. When we say they are stagnant, meaning that they did not go beyond the first reading.
Why?
So, because lawmaking is a very complex process, you know that to get a bill to skate through to the point of law, there are a lot of things that goes in. There is the fact that you may need to lobby your colleagues.
Of course.
Come to think about it, Sandra. Agenda bills that were rejected, are they not beautiful to every rational mind, I would say? But why did it not scale through? You would even remember, Sandra, that the first lady as well as the second lady, if I will use that word, came to the National Assembly, sat with them when the report was laid, just to show that we are in support of this thing. Women Affairs Minister was there. Sandra, it didn't scale through. And when you look at the source, the remote source of that, there wasn't enough lobbying. They lobbied, but it was late. They did that. People had already made up their mind. So because a bill takes a lot, really, for a bill to become law. So it's not just enough for you to just read the bill at the chamber, the floor of the chamber during plenary, and then you go to sleep. No, you have to do a lot of work. And
So hold on. Let's not rush, because I'm trying to get Lagos to understand exactly how this thing works, right? So yeah. So let's take one of the gender bills, for example, right? A woman can give her citizenship to her non-Nigerian husband. Hmm? Let's take that one. So you have a senator who stands on the floor of the House, or a House of Reps member who stands on the floor of the House, or you have a State House of Assembly member who stands on the floor of the House, and this person says, oh, my name is Sandra Ezekwesili, and I'd like to move forward to the motion to make this bill become a law, and the bill is to allow women confer their citizenship on men the way men are able to confer their citizenship on women, right? So that's the first step. The first step is to stand on the floor of the House. That's, of course, after you and your team have put together what you want the provisions of that particular law, if it becomes a law to be. After you put it together, then you stand on the floor of the House and you announce it to the rest of the members of the House. Is that the first step? Is it after you announce it, then you go and start lobbying? Or is it before you come to announce it, you've already started lobbying? What's the process? Walk us through a step by step here.
Okay, it's dependent on the lawmaker. There's no one-way cast-in-stone process. Okay. However, it depends. For a lawmaker, you can decide to discuss with other influential persons that you know would see this through, including, of course, the presiding officers, who are the speaker, who is the speaker and deputy speaker in the case of the House of Reps.
Okay.
But you could decide to discuss with them, well, this is what I'm thinking about, get their inputs. Before you put together a body of document that will come law for a country, you would definitely want to get inputs from people. Sometimes if it's something that has to do with a professional body, maybe accounting, you want to sponsor a bill that regulates the practice of accounting or law in Nigeria, you would get the input of senior lawyer, get the input of ICANN, if it's accounting, MBA, I don't know if you get my point.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this thing goes into the lawmaking process.
Mm-hmm.
But where you decide to start your lobbying is solely rested on the lawmaker.
On the lawmaker.
Many times, you may want to say that people just are not able to follow through on this bill, especially because maybe they are distracted with other things. Because in some cases, your constituents also are also wondering how important the bill is to them. They want to see you come and share sewing machine and motorcycles, which in itself is not entirely the function of the lawmaker.
Okay.
So when you look at it from that point, lobbying is just a silent part of the process. It's not written
anywhere that you have
Nigeria.
To do that. Yes, but however, lobbying is something that all over the world, you know, lawmakers do. But I do want to come back to that point you were making about how it's not an easy process. Some of them start and then they don't follow through, because I'm curious about some of the reasons that they don't follow through. So you've said sometimes perhaps a lawmaker is distracted by other matters, maybe coming up on the floors of the House, maybe coming up at their constituency, because I'm really trying to understand why 50% of bills by senators are stagnant. That's a really high number. So when we come back from this break, you're going to, you know, give us a better, clearer picture of what exactly happens there when you have a lawmaker who gets up and says, "Oh, I wanna make this new law because I feel like it's going to benefit a greater majority of the people," and then it doesn't go further than the first time that the bill was announced, you know. And I know that you say that order paper has its own metrics, the VVIP, for assessing a lawmaker's performance. However, all of us are not order paper, even though we should do it the way order paper does it. You know, for those who do it in a volume of bills sponsored, what are the pros and cons of doing that? Let's take a break.
Welcome back to Hard Facts with Sandra Ezekwesili.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. You're listening to Eyes and Nays. On Eyes and Nays Lagos, we take a look at the legislative chambers. We focus on what they're doing, what's being debated at the state level, what's being debated at national assemblies. And we take a look at how the chambers are performing their oversight duties on the executive. Today, we are dialing it all the way back. I feel like we should have started with this as our very first episode ever. What are the steps in Nigeria's legislative process? We've got our guests on the show, who's quickly become a friend of the show, to be honest with you, senior program executive at Order Paper, who's also our source for today's legislative hard fact. Between June 2019 and May 2022, senators sponsored 1,009 bills. Temidaya Taiwo Siddique has been with us since we started at 5. He's still here on the phone answering my questions. Now, before the break, Temidayo said something that alarmed me. He said 50% of bills by senators are stagnant. And he says this happens for many reasons. One of them being that the lawmaker could get distracted after proposing a bill. Now, what other reasons are there for why a bill goes stagnant? Because 50% seems like such a high number. Is it a high number? Temidayo?
It is
a high number. Right. So
it's a high number.
So what else is happening
when
there?
When I said 50%, when I said stagnated, I mean that it didn't go beyond the first reading. That's what I mean. Meaning that it didn't even get an opportunity to be properly debated by lawmakers. But there's a part that, I mean, not be able to give you full details of how it works. I need you to also realize, especially at Lagos, that there's also the partisan angle to read. A lawmaker who is from the party with majority is likely to see their bills become law than an opposition lawmaker. Like I said, this is the politics of the National Assembly or perhaps the State House of Assembly. But that is not recorded officially as, okay, this is one of the steps to making a bill becoming law. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
I understand.
So, partisanship also plays a big role in these things. But generally, for lawmakers who really know their onion, many times, even if you sponsor 50 bills, you might not see all of them through to the end, but you will see progression. Progression is the point, which is the last P I talked about in our VVIP model. I know you said that other papers metric. But progression means that some of your bills, some move from first to second reading. Some have been passed by one assembly, another have been at the stage of concurrence. it has been passed by both houses of the National Assembly, awaiting assent. Some their bills have been assented to by the president. Some of them, it's in second reading, but at the point of debate, maybe cultural interest, that's also another thing you should look at. Cultural interest or cultural leanings also affect certain things. I'll give you an example. Senator Jumoke from Ekiti, she used to be a former minority leader, a PDP lawmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Biodun Olujimi, not Jumoke, Biodun Olujimi. Now, Senator Olujimi, as in the last assembly, as well as this assembly, tried to push forward a bill that protects children from getting married off at a very tender age. I'm sure you are probably familiar with this story in the news, where the bill was shut down because a lot of persons who are looking at it from a cultural dimension, mm-hmm. say you cannot legislate on the age for which a person should get married. That if you do that, you are legislating against my religion. Some other persons say, oh, it's against my culture. Another person says, no, this is not what our fathers were allowed to marry people from any age. And so that back and forth, she's trying to get the bill to pass. In the long run, what happens? The lawmaker usually advise,
mm-hmm.
please step this bill down, go and correct the areas that is bringing these issues. And sometimes it's difficult that it comes back again, except maybe the presiding officer is really, really interested in what you are trying to do, or you are able to seek their influence. You understand what I'm saying? Let me give another quick example. Recently, Honorable Benny Gbagba from the lawmaker representing Etiop Federal Constituency in Delta State.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he sponsored a bill. The bill, among other things, is seeking to make those who study abroad, Nigerians who go abroad to study, make their commitment to serve in Nigeria before they can work or serve in government,
mm-hmm.
for 1 year under the NYC scheme. He's seeking to make that an optional.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the time he was discussing it, at the point of debate in the House, a lot of persons said, what you are saying doesn't make sense. We cannot do that. He cited the issue of the former finance minister, Ade Osun. Oh, you remember, she was misled. The issue of forgery and all of that. And the lawmakers insisted that this bill does not make any sense. What you are trying to do does not make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing is that that's not the only aspect of the bill, Sandra. There are other aspects of the bill, for example, that say the allowance of NYC members, the core members, should be reviewed. It's not consistent with reality today. He also talks about other things, hazard allowance. I mean, these people risk their life, they travel from one place to the other.
Mm-hmm.
But as beautiful as those suggestions or provisions are in the bill,
mm-hmm.
just this part that says NYC should be made optional for people who foreign students,
mm-hmm.
or foreign graduates,
mm-hmm.
that part was the major part that affected the bill. Guess what? The Deputy Speaker, Honorable Idris Wase,
mm-hmm.
Ahmed Idris Wase, who presided over plenary, had to advise him that step this bill down, you can bring it up much later. I'll give you one final example, Sandra.
Okay.
A lawmaker from Bochi, his name is Uma Muda Lawa,
okay.
in the House of Representatives, mm-hmm. still, he sponsored a bill to put a ban on cross-dressing. And after the first reading, which is just reading the title of the bill for everybody to know that this bill is in our custody, mm-hmm. at the National Assembly Secretariat,
mm-hmm.
the second reading, when it was being debated, what I'm talking about is barely 3 months ago,
mm-hmm.
and the lawmaker said, forget about this thing that you are trying to do. There was so much of argument, and again, it was forced to step it down.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many instances like this. I just gave you a number of other reasons. Cultural reasons, religious reasons, partisan interests. There is also the part, like I said before, a lawmaker may be distracted. You are trying to push 10, 14 bills at the same time. You know that you will not be able to dedicate proper attention to seeing them pass. And then another reason I want to adduce here is that because of the pressure from Nigerians who do not understand the core functions of lawmakers, they expect that lawmakers should do the same thing the executive is doing for them. And so you now have a number of lawmakers sponsor establishment bills.
Okay.
If you check most of the bills that were sponsored in this 9th National Assembly, both Senate and House of Reps, you see a lot of a bill for an act to establish Federal Medical Center, Wukari, a bill to establish Federal College of Education. That's one aspect. There's also another aspect. Existing colleges of education, they are converting them to become federal. And what you are doing is increasing the cost of governance. So all of these things, how many institutions are you going to have? The ones we have, you know the ASU issue, Sandra,
mm-hmm.
that we are still struggling with them. So when you look at all of these reasons, they could also be, your colleagues may not see reason with why you need to establish a polytechnic in your village when there is one in the next village. And so that bill becomes useless.
Lagos, so, join the conversation.
But to talk largely on, very quickly, on the part you asked, how should the average Nigerian, especially because the election is in 14 days,
mm-hmm.
how should the average Nigerian rate things? Unfortunately, Sandra, we had to come up with this model. I said it was based on criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this one is not sufficient enough.
Mm-hmm.
But you need a scientific measure, like not just using your emotion to look at how big. That is why we came up with that VVIP model. Because come to think about it, other functions of the legislature, one of them is oversight. Sandra, what scientific way are you going to be able to measure oversight? If you are the chairman of the committee, maybe your committee succeeded in probing agencies and you saw that probe to a logical end. What about the members of the committee, who many times are also members of different committees?
Okay. Lagos, join the... Okay, oh, sorry. I thought you were done there because you paused.
So that's one aspect. Then let's look at the other aspect of representation.
Mm-hmm.
Representation has to do with, for example, petitions. People write petitions to the National Assembly or the Assembly of Assembly. Oh, I was wrongfully dismissed from my establishment. And then they look into it. They pass a resolution on it and say, this person should be reinstated. Parliament has that power. That's one aspect of it. Another aspect is that you have a case where people facilitate constituency projects. I use the word facilitate. They are not rest. It's not their money. Because we see a lot of lawmakers now put a big board and say, oh, this project was sponsored by... No. It is federal government's money. It's the executive that is doing it. You're only facilitating it. You put it in the budget for your community. Now, are you going to say that the person who gave his community motorcycles and maybe borehole, because that is the need of that community, are you going to say his own is not as good as somebody who perhaps facilitated the need for the community to have what's a common example I can use now? Maybe a primary health care center, or even construct a 3-kilometer road. It's small, but that particular road has been in a source of nightmare to the people in that community. So why do you measure these things? Which is why we look at the bills. But it's not enough to look at volume, Nigerians, mm-hmm. Lagosians.
Mm-hmm.
Leave the volume. The volume is important. But look at what stage is that bill? Apart from the stage, how many of these bills have impact? So those are some of the things to look at, but it's not enough. I don't think, and this is my personal opinion,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that a person should sit in the chambers of any legislature and for 4 years, which takes is the average time that it takes for a child to walk, get into school. For 4 years, you sit there and you didn't contribute. Even if you are not the sponsor of a bill, you're a co-sponsor. Even if you're not the co-sponsor, you don't even want to sponsor a fresh bill. How about a bill that you see that this thing is already a law, but there's a problem with it in implementation? You seek to address that issue and bring it back to amend. So what about that? So I think that it may be difficult to convince someone like me that a lawmaker should sit for 4 years and not sponsor a bill.
Okay. We've got Bao from Ikorodu on WhatsApp who says, are the lawmakers meant to meet their constituents to discuss a bill consideration? How often are our parliamentarians mandated to meet their constituents per month? At what location?
Okay, is a lawmaker expected? Let me get the question right. Is a lawmaker expected?
The lawmakers meant to meet their constituents to discuss a bill under consideration.
Not necessarily, because the bill is for the entire federation. When you make a bill, it's not for your constituency. However, I think that a lawmaker is supposed to have direct connection with his constituents. You should have a constituency office back home. You live in Abuja or you work in Abuja, all right. But you should have a constituency office where people who are in your constituency, they have issues. They should be able to relate with the staff you've put there while you are in Abuja, and they will send information to you. And then you organize town halls, you organize forum for them to express themselves. And while you are doing that, in one of those meetings, you can say, oh, I have the intention to sponsor this bill, and I'm sure that it will help this community in the long run. Then people give their input. So not necessarily, but don't forget that one of the stages of a bill transmitting to become law is the public hearing, which is the committee stage.
Mm-hmm.
So at that stage, maybe your constituents can sponsor themselves, or you sponsor some of them if they are not going to, you are not going to influence their opinions. You sponsor some of them to come to the National Assembly to come and make their contribution. Or at worst, maybe you provide Zoom facility or online virtual participation. Let people in your constituency or whoever wants to join from across the country make their contribution.
I find it interesting that you focus on the National Assembly, because state assembly lawmakers also have constituencies. They're not living in Abuja.
Very well. So, yes, you know that for Lagos, for example, the lawmaker who is representing Ikorodu will most likely be living in maybe Ikeja GRA. I'm just citing an example.
Okay.
Or perhaps Ogudu GRA.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't live in Ikorodu, Agric, Isonwo, or wherever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
You are supposed to have a constituency office in Ikorodu, okay, so that you can get in touch with the people there. So it's the same thing that is applicable.
Okay.
If you are a lawmaker for Ekpe, are you going to be coming from Ekpe to the State House of Assembly at Ikeja every day?
Okay.
How well are you going to be effective?
Okay. And then next question here, how often are parliamentarians mandated to meet their constituents per month? At what location?
Okay, that's a function of the lawmaker. It's for the lawmaker to decide. But I think that a reasonable thing, like I said, and this is largely on personal opinion, a reasonable thing would be to meet with your constituents at least in a quarter. Every 3 months, you should at least meet with your constituents, or perhaps, if you like, maybe within the half of the year.
So because this is entirely at the discretion of the lawmaker?
Yes, largely.
Okay. Should this be a factor for whether we vote that person to go back or not?
I think it should. You went to Abuja, you were elected to Abuja, and the day of the election, when you were dancing around the collation center, that's the last time they saw you. The next time they are seeing you on TV, perhaps sleeping or...
So it should be an election issue. Okay. We've got Taya from Ojota who says, what is the real definition of lobby in this context? What about the good of the majority? Could the bias of the lawmakers to be lobbied also be a factor that contributes towards lobbying not working? Like, I want to believe what happened with the gender bill, considering how patriarchal our society is. Taya from Ojota with that question there.
Sandra, I think you already answered it earlier when you said lobbying is not peculiar to Nigeria. Lobbying is a parliamentary fact. Go and study words associated with legislature, vocabulary development in English language. You will see lobbying there. So that's the way it is. That's the way it's drafted. But I think that if you elect patriotic people, which is why you should look at the antecedent, don't go out on the 25th of February and just say, now one party I will vote all across. Bandwagon does not give you qualitative representation in parliament.
Hmm.
Scrutinize each of the lawmakers for their own merit. Or else you have a case where a lawmaker will just go there and become a rubber stamp. So a collection of lawmakers form a rubber stamp.
We've got Aziz asking, can individuals or society, civil society, put forward a bill?
Yes, they can, but they have to route it through a lawmaker. You can't go to the floor of the chamber to stand and say you want to move the bill. You have to do that through a lawmaker. Many of the bills that are sponsored by lawmakers, some of them are not originally their idea.
Yes.
They also got people who proposed it through them.
Yeah. We've got Ben from Yaba asking, does the sponsoring of a bill attract a cost? If yes, how much?
This is a very tough one. To be honest, it does attract a cost. It's expensive to sponsor a bill.
Okay, let's leave it there. Let's leave it there because we have like 40 seconds before we have to wrap up. When we come back next week, we'll start from here. What does it cost to sponsor a bill? Lagos, you have more questions about understanding the process, Nigeria's legislative process, the role of that lawmaker that is asking to represent you at the different legislative houses. Go think about it. Come back. Join us 5 p.m. next week, Friday, on Eyes and Nays. Let's discuss all of it. Temi Dayo, Taiwo Siddiq, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, as always.
Lagos will take a break now. I'll bring you the news at 6. After that, it will be time for music and moments with Ifeanyi and Sam. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, S. Ezekwesili on social media.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.